Tech Can to another episode of On Agency. It's April 2nd, and we are looking at some amazing sounds from Sloan today. The amazing rock band Sloan from Nova Scotia, Canada. These guys played Detroit a handful of times. I saw them a handful of times. So it works out. You're listening to Give Me That. That's off of the action-packed album. I believe it's called P-A-C-T. I saw them in Detroit and St. Andrews. They seem to like St. Andrews a lot. And I saw them in Chicago at the Metro. And Fountains of Wayne opened. Oh no, I'm sorry, Fountains of Wayne actually headlined. How weird is that? Welcome to the show. I'm going to jump tracks a little bit for you guys because I want to talk about selling, and I also want to cover three awesome sources today. But Austin Kleon, who wrote the amazing book called Steal Like an Artist, is really cool. It was a New York Times bestseller. We'll be talking about that a little bit today. Also, You Can Be an Optimist, right? By Lucy McDonald. We'll be looking at that. And also, here's some .com secrets from the .com Secret Labs. And it's talking about making more money. And it's got some really cool forms in here that shows you how to make money. This is crazy stuff. I've actually got some old forms in here from my meetup groups I used to do. And it's really, it's like a time capsule this morning, ladies and gentlemen. I remember doing these meetup groups throughout Detroit. What was really funny about those days was there's a lot of people out there trying to sell this stuff that never really done it before. I'm sorry, that's not good English, is it? That have actually never really done this before. There we go. That, you know, it's just kind of funny. So there's a lot of instant agencies that popped up since this digital marketing stuff took over. And it always makes me kind of smile a little bit because a lot of these people claim they were there in the early days of advertising right alongside with me. And I don't remember any of these people around back in the day. That just goes. It's a cultural thing. I was there first. I was one of the original 100 punks back in 1976. You know that's not true. I wasn't even born then. No, I'm kidding. I was. But I wasn't there when that happened. And there's another great Detroit myth. Everybody claims they were at the Smiths show over at the old theater at the Fox before it was reconstructed. And we all know that's not true either. Actually, Detroit was a war zone back then. So depending on, it doesn't matter where you've been or where you say you've been, you're here now. And if you're trying to start an agency or if you're trying to come off as an agency person with no agency experience, then maybe you found the right place. Maybe 20 years from now, you'll say, I was there with Ted Cantu when he did his podcast show and we became legends together. There you go. That might be interesting. So welcome to the show. I'm an ex-art director who was actually there when this stuff took off. First generation of multimedia back when we were doing stuff on CD-ROMs. Yeah, see, I was actually there. BBDO, Young and Rubicam, Foot Cone. And I was doing some stuff with the Black Dot Group out of Chicago. Those are fun days. I guess that's where Sloan kind of comes in today because that was one of the first alternative bands that was really making a big breakthrough back then on 89X Radio. And they liked Detroit because we were part of the Canadian, there was a bridge there, there was a market there. And for some reason they stuck, you know, when the rest of the music took off, Sloan was actually part of the musical landscape. And that translated to Chicago and some of the alternative scenes over there with New City Magazine and stuff. So that was, you know, that was an exciting time. But I was actually there, actually did it. Back in those days, we had search engines too, but they weren't like the ones we have today. Oh, no, no, no. They were actually buses, subways, cabs, anything with wheels on it, and we'd slap our banners on it with a website address on it. There was no QR codes back in those days. So, you talk about the Wild West, man. That really was the Wild West. And to further confuse things, we also had some really crazy characters back then. I'm telling you. It was a wild time. So, anyway, all this virtual stuff is great, but at the end of the day, you really have to create relationships. And that's a big downer for a lot of guys out there that just, like, they want to do everything virtually. And I remember when I was doing my meetup groups, that was, you know, it was a turnoff. People want to do things virtually. Like, I want to start a relationship with somebody, but I want to do it virtually. And you'll ever notice, too, a lot of guys do this when it comes to dating, too. They got, like, 30 virtual girlfriends on Facebook or 30 virtual girlfriends on AOL, but they don't really have any real ones. Great people of influence exist behind the screen. That doesn't work. You got to have people. You got to have relationships. You got to actually touch people. You got to have virtual relationships aren't good enough. So we're going to be talking about some of that stuff too. Okay? So welcome to the show. That's a big intro. I understand. You got things to do. I got things to do. Let's move this show along, shall we? One last thing. If you guys have bands out there and you want to be featured on the show, you can always email me at tedcantu.com. That's tedcantu@gmail.com. There you go. So there's my little rant about that. How to get fresh ideas? How do you get fresh ideas? Here's 10 things that nobody told you about being creative, by Austin Kleon. I bought this book down at, it was in Ann Arbor. It was, Crazy Wisdom Bookstore. Crazy Wisdom Bookstore. I'm laughing because, I just realized I just alienated 50% of my Christian audience. I read everything. All right. I don't put myself in a corner and say I'm this side or I'm that side. I'm multifaceted, so I have no problem walking in there and buying stuff on subconscious mind, universal thinking, subliminal subconsciousness, and the creative spirit, as well as Christian reading. I'm well read, but I have no problem walking in there and buying self-help books. I realize I've lost some of you members out there, listening audience, because you don't agree, but this is a big world we live in. So let's put on our big boy pants, our big girl pants, and buckle up, okay? Because this is important stuff. This book will tell you how to steal like an artist. You don't have to wait until you know who you are to get started. And this also shows you different things, like write the book you want to read, right? You want to live the life that you want to read. Makes sense? Jim Morrison had something like that. It says, if your life was a movie, would anybody want to see it? I'm paraphrasing, of course. But he said something like, make sure your life is like a movie that you'd want to watch. Same type of thing. The secret is to do good work and share it with people. He says, that's the secret. People are looking for the secret. He says, geography is no longer our master. That's interesting. Okay. And it says, and it says, be nice. The world is a small town. That's a funny perspective. And also, he says, be boring. It's the only way to get work done. And creativity is subtraction. So, let's get to the meat of this thing. A lot of you guys want the secret, right? What's the secret for creativity? What's the secret for all this? It says, do good work and share it with people. Now, he says, if you're lucky, what you love equals what loves you back. Okay, so if you want to do jewelry on Etsy.com and that's your thing, and hopefully you find a little audience, that's a cute way of looking at it. If you want to do something bigger than that, hopefully You do. And you want to find your target audience. It says, in the beginning, obscurity is good. And right here on page 77, it says, I get a lot of emails from young people who ask, how do I get discovered? And I sympathize with them because there's kind of a fallout that happens when you leave college. The classroom is a wonderful, it's an artificial place, but your professor gets paid to pay attention to your ideas, and your classmates are paying to pay attention to your ideas. Never again in your life will you have such a captive audience. I'm laughing because that is partly true. I went to art school, so we had to critique each other's work, and I used to hate that. I used to hate doing the ad board because I had a problem with public speaking. I had a problem getting my ideas out there. I was very shy. After a while, I got my head kicked in so many times that I didn't care anymore, and I just told you what I think. So that skill turned out to be pretty good because pitching is one of my favorite things to do now. When you pitch your idea in the advertising on the boards in front of people who want to keep their job, basically, or save face, or yet they don't want to do the job that you're pitching. They just want to, you know, make you look good or whatever. There's a lot of dynamics when you work in an office. Pitching is something that you should be always perfecting, always getting good at, and always to think, what side of the room do I want to put people on? The A column to the B column, or the B column to the A column. You want them to jump sides and jump on your side of the fence. So it says, soon after, you learn that the most of the world doesn't necessarily care about what you think. That sounds harsh, but it's true. That's what I would say too. as the writer Stephen Pressfield once said, it's not that people are mean or cruel, they're just busy. They're busy, but they're busy being cruel and mean, too. Let's be honest with each other. I lived in Chicago and New York. I know how it goes. This is actually a good thing because you want attention only after you're doing really good work. There's no pressure when you're unknown, and you can do whatever you want. So you can experiment and do things for the fun of it. When you're an unknown, there's nothing to distract you from getting better. There's no public image to manage. There's no huge paycheck on the line. No stockholders. No emails from your agent. No hangers-on. You'll never get that freedom back again once people start paying attention, especially not once they start paying you money. That's true, too. I tell you what, the worst clients you can possibly get, and I say this with love, are the ones that give you like a couple $100. Because what they'll do is they'll call you every 5 minutes, and they won't let you get actual work done. And those are the worst, they're the worst of the worst. The worst of the worst of the worst of the worst. I'm telling you. So just be careful with that. And watch it. Desperate people. People come at you with different agendas, too, at that price point. We'll talk more about that on the show. Price points are really interesting. Because certain price points have fear. Certain price points bring confidence. Certain price points bring security. And, you know, the exchange is always different. But you need to know the rules of all of that. Here's a not-so-secret formula. He says, enjoy your obscurity while it lasts, and you should use it. Now, says, if there was ever a secret formula for becoming known, he says, I would give it to you, but there's only one not-so-secret formula that I know. Do good work and share it with people. This sounds a lot like Seth Godin to me. It's a two-step process. Step one, do good work. It's incredibly hard. There are no shortcuts. Make stuff every day, and you know you're going to get, you know it's going to suck for a while. Fail, get better. Step two, share it with people. And that's really hard up until 10 years ago or so. Now it's very simple. Put your stuff on the internet. I tell people this, and they ask me, what's the secret of the internet? Interesting. Here's what he says. Step one, wonder at something. Step two, invite others to wonder with you. You should wonder at the things nobody else is wondering about. And if everybody's wondering about apples, go wonder about oranges. The more open you are about sharing your passions, the closer people will feel to your work. Artists are not magicians. There's no penalty for revealing your secrets. He says, believe it or not, I get a lot of inspiration from people like Bob Ross and Martha Stewart. That's a weird combo. Remember Bob Ross, the painter on PBS with the afro and his happy little trees? Bob Ross taught people how to paint. He gave his secrets away. Martha Stewart teaches you how to make your house and your life awesome. She gives her secrets away. People love it when you give your secrets away. And sometimes, if you're really smart about it, they'll reward you by buying the things that you're selling. When you open up your process and invite people in, you learn. I've learned so much from the folks who submit poems to my newspaper blackout site. I find a lot of things to steal, too. It benefits me as much as it does them. You don't put yourself online only because you have something to say. You can put yourself online to find something to say. The internet can be more than just a resting place to publish your finished ideas. It can also be an incubator for ideas that are not fully formed, a birthing center for developing work if you haven't started yet. Okay, this is interesting stuff. I'm just going to read the rest of it. A lot of artists worry about being online will cause them to make less work, but I found that having a presence online is a kick in the pants. Most websites and blogs are set up to show posts in reverse chronological order. The latest post is the first post that visitors see, so you're only as good as your last post. This keeps you on your toes, keeps you thinking about what you can post next, having a container that can inspire us to fill it. Whenever I've become lost over the years, I just look at my website and ask myself, what can I fill this with? You know, this whole book is incredible. If you want to just pick up your ideas and find out, what you want to do with yourself and how to end procrastination, this is a really good workbook to use. And it's just filled with many ideas in it. You can start to flowchart out what you want to do. And there's a really great takeaway in this book. How can I say this politely? We got a thing here in Detroit called The Dirty Show, which I'm not a fan of. It's about perverted X-rated art, basically. And I got to wonder why so many artists cry and bitch and throw tantrums that they never get invited or being taken seriously for the international art exhibitions or Art Chicago or, the rest of it. It just kind of skips Detroit because nobody wants to see vaginas drawn with crayons, basically. It's not good stuff. It's not nothing great. But instead of bitching about it, what I did instead was I went out and I made something. I stopped writing about it. I stopped complaining about it. I went out and did my own thing. Now I got a bunch of canvases for a new art show that I'm putting together. And it's based on rock and roll musicians. And it's really kind of a cool thing. So the point is, when you see something that you don't like in the marketplace or in your community, to not complain and spend hours complaining about how much it sucks, you can actually do something about it and make something that is more permanent that people will want to interact with, and you will be all the better for it. Which leads me into my next book right here, You Can Be an Optimist. So I realize we're pushing into 18 and a half minutes. Just deal with me for a minute because I got some really good things here to share with you. It says, how optimistic are you? This is page 30 of the book, You Can Be an Optimist. It says, Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life by Lucy McDonald. It says, as you have been reading this book, you'll probably understand that you want to measure up to be an optimist. Perhaps you have been thinking back to recent events, good or bad, and recalling how you reacted to them. While this is a valuable approach and one that gets developed later, there's also a number of tests that psychologists have devised in order to give a scientific measure of your optimism. Okay, so here's a test you can take. And this is a really good thing because you want to just pick this book up for like $8. It's at Barnes & Noble. Just as you walk in and out the door, they got all this really cool self-help section, different books. I always grab just a couple, to see, to kind of check in every now and then, see how I'm doing in this game called life. But you can ask questions like, here's the first one. In uncertain times, I usually expect the best. Number two, it's easy for me to relax. Number three, if something can go wrong for me, it will. Number four, I'm always optimistic about my future. Number five, I enjoy my friends a lot. Six, It's important for me to keep busy. 7, I hardly ever expect things to go my way. 8, I don't get upset too easily. 9, I rarely count on good things happening to me. And 10, overall, I expect more good things to happen to me than bad. Now, you can actually vote these by writing down, there's a little code system, so you can either like write A, which is agree a lot, B, agree a little, C, agree neither to or disagree, D, disagree a little, and E, disagree a lot. So you can be as honest as you want to. You want to find out where you are. And there's a score on the bottom. Every letter has points assigned to it. So it's a kind of a cool exercise. And at the very, very bottom, you're going to see a scale, like a pH scale, from 0 to extreme pessimism, to 12, which is neutral, and 25, which is extreme optimism. You want to find out really, really where you're at. And also, it goes into self-talk, too. So these are really, really cool things to keep in mind. As you go through your creative processes, you go through your branding exercises, you want to find out who you are as a brand first and who you are as a business person. So many times I see people that sell commodity things like real estate, mortgages, insurance. They don't go through this process. They just say, I'm the cheapest price in town. I am no better than anybody else. I sell the same stuff as everybody else sells. There's no difference between me and the other person. But yet, I want to be number one on Google so I get more business. That's ridiculous, because why buy from you if you're not any better than anybody else? If you're just as expensive or just as cheap as anybody else, what's the point of going to you and making time to go see you and your business? It doesn't make any sense to me. You want to stand out. You want to be different. You want to have a point of differentiation for what you do, right? You got to be special in some way. Otherwise, you're going to blend in to obscurity. This last book right here, Dotcom Secrets, is a really cool read too. This is 108 proven split test winners. These are simple tweaks that you can make to your website so you can make more money. A lot of this stuff is about headlines. And headlines as opposed to running ads back and forth. And this is incredible stuff. Now, does it really work? Well, it depends. I think a lot of stuff runs on you running ads to feed these pages to make them convert into actual people that want to hear from you. You got to... I'll just give you an example. Let's go ahead and read some of these things. One just says, join the .com Secret X 30-day challenge and bold red letters. And then below it says, sign in below to get started. And there's like a little sign-up form. The other one is written in script, like someone wrote it with a marker, and that's written in red. And it says, visit us. And just give me 30 days, and I'll mold you into our next success story. Now, I realize there's a lot of this stuff going on the web, and there's this whole virtual world out there. But it's worth looking at some of this stuff. And this guy actually puts in his numbers for 25% more conversions. This slide that immediately gave us a 25% raise. And this book is by Russell Brunson, by the way. I don't know if it's still in print, but it's worth looking up. You can probably find this even on Amazon or eBay. Maybe somebody gave it away, and you can just buy it. It was a promotional book to sell his services is what it was. But I grabbed it because it's got some good content in here. These headlines are really interesting, too, because they're stacked up. This one's stacked up 4 lines high. Actually, I'm sorry, 5 lines high, and it seems a little excessive to me. But here's what it says. Discover how you can grab my Take You By The Hand action checklist you'll refer to again and again throughout your wealth-building journey for free. Pretty heavy. This looks like Dan Kennedy stuff to me, but it's really good. And considering the fact that actually Brunson was a Dan Kennedy student is probably why it looks the way it does. I see a lot of the same type of work that I used to do in here. These are multiple PS structures too at the very, very end. He's got bonuses and PS and PS2 and all this stuff because he wants you to get on board with his program. He's using words like shameless. That's funny. I just caught that. The word shamelessly use my ads. And these are, yeah, all the languages there, you know. The unfair advantage, I think I've used that so many times. We all went to school together, me and these guys. I was part of the Dan Kennedy chapter when I was in Michigan. I studied all this stuff. To get people to convert over to your side of the fence, you've been pre-selected to apply for this $87 an hour position from home. That's funny. Here's another one. Anyone over 18 from virtually any background can do this from the home computer with limited training. We guarantee it. And he's putting all these logos on there. Yahoo, Google, Microsoft, Facebook, HP. Finally, you can earn extra cash by helping companies desperate for people like you to independently post links from home. Wow. Okay. That's from DC Fawcett, the creator of the Internet Wealth Machine. Interestingly enough, if this is all true, all this stuff sounds too good to be true, by the way. And there's also some things in here about the tiny classified ads that are really funny. I did a lot of these things. This kind of goes back to, what is his name? Don LaPree. Remember? You know, Don LaPree made $50 million in 10 years just doing printed small ads. Yeah. And you know what happened to him, right? He didn't end his career very well. He actually took his life a couple of years ago. So anyway, a little history there. Probably more than you need to know, but I like how they actually put together ads for different types of medical conditions too. This is really good stuff. It says, do you suffer from diabetic neuropathy related pains? And you learn how you can stop the tingling, numbness, and sharp burning pain in your hands and feet today. And it's got a picture of a guy on here, and he doesn't look very well, but it's just added to create credibility. And there's little testimonials on here too with people. Take note of that. They're not showing blood cells on here, talking blood cells. They're talking people that are suffering with a condition. So it's believable, you know. Your people that read your ads, they're not scientists. They're not doctors. They're not going to understand that type of approach. People like to buy from people. I had a guy who was selling insurance not too long ago. He was using little people, or not little people, little cats in nursing costumes. Yes, I said costumes. And they were supposed to be selling insurance. They were nurses. Cat nurses. I'm sorry, kitten nurses. And it was, I don't know if it was stock photography, if he paid someone to do this, but it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And it was supposed to sell insurance. Surprise, it was not effective. So who's going to relate to that? You want to sell an HMO, you want to sell health benefits, you got to look like you know what you're talking about. You got to be serious about it. Don't use cartoons. Don't use graphics with, you know, cartoons of, you know, Saturday morning cartoon characters and cats in nursing costumes. That's ridiculous. You want to look like you know what you're talking about. You want to look like you know your craft. And people like to buy from that. They want to see something real. Anyway, Those are my three sources. We'll be going back into this again. This is about selling, how to compose your sale, how to compose your brand. So steal like an artist. I would steal from the best. Steal from, you know, there's examples in here about David Bowie, how he actually took ideas from other artists and recreated his own brand of music and visual style. And that's quite a lot of things a lot of painters do too. A lot of artists do that sort of thing. Also, think like an optimist. Be optimistic. Be real about your brand so you come off authentic and you know what you're talking about. And if you can pick up this book here, .com Secrets, some really great examples in here about how to put ads together and how to use headlines. Because headlines are important. Actually, 90% of all of the things that you write go back to the headline. And also, people like to buy on emotions. Wow, that's a whole nother thing we can talk about right there. I'm going to key up the music right here. Bring this back. Folks, if you need to get a hold of me, you can always give me a shout at 248-277-6141. We got a new website coming out too. We got some restaurant marketing cheat sheets. I got some stuff here too for chiropractic marketing cheat sheets. And I believe plastic surgeons are on our website too. You can download a plastic surgeon cheat sheet for your business. And it's got keywords on there. It's got all kinds of different social media tricks on there that you could utilize and start working in your business to influence people. Very important stuff. I could talk all day, but obviously I'm not going to. I do need to get going. I want to thank you for listening today, and you could always look us up online. And I want to say thanks for all the letters and all the encouragement that we're getting. And if you have any questions, you can always email me directly at tedcantu@gmail.com. I want to thank you for listening. I'll see you guys tomorrow.